Be seated, please.
Well, again, I want to say good morning to all of you. And Stan, thank you for leading us in a great time of worship.
Have you ever felt like you were just missing, you're a little off, not exactly hitting all cylinders? Recently, my vehicle, something's wrong with the distributor, and I can be driving down the road at about 70 miles an hour headed down Highway 59, and all of a sudden it'll just skip, and you're like, what in the world just happened? So anyway, we're getting that all checked out, but that kind of reminds me of where I'm at today, kind of skipping a little beat this past week. I don't know, Minnie got sick, and boy, when she ain't functioning good, we all don't function good, and I'm not a very good single parent. And I've already been rebuked by one of my kids this morning because I failed to tell them they had the scripture reading today. So that's just where we're at. And I hope you're okay with it because you have to be, because that's all I got to give today. So anyway, it is a blessing to be together. And sometimes we as a church, we may skip a beat or we're a little off. And today I want to encourage us, hopefully with this message, to maybe encourage us to fine-tune ourselves as a church family so that we can be really effective in the ministry that God has called us to be, in the service He wants us to accomplish. And so I want to talk about what it means to be a part of this church, what it means to be a member of this body. You and I become members of God's church when we give our lives to Him. When we decide that we want to move from one dominion, y'all know what a dominion is. It's a realm of power and authority. When we want to move from the dominion of darkness, or a realm of darkness, to a realm of power and authority, when we move from darkness to light, from this world to Jesus Christ, we have a sin problem. And we have a problem because we've sinned. We've created an experience of hostility between us and God. And Jesus leaves all of the luxury of heaven and enters into our world and experiences life just like us. Goes through the same traumas that you and I face in this world, is threatened by everything that you and I are threatened by in this world, and Jesus overcomes. And He overcomes death. And by His death on the cross, He overcomes the punishment of sin that you and I owed the Lord above. Because this is His world. He created it. It is His laws that govern the universe. And when you and I sin, we break God's law. And what Christ has done is He's taken the penalty that you and I owed God Almighty, and He took it upon Himself. And the scriptures refer to this as God's grace. Amen. And God's grace is something that is not, it's not wimpy. It's not ooey-gooey. It's not syrupy, as we think of sometimes these images. Grace is a very, very powerful concept. And so you and I become members of the body of Christ when we give our lives to Him and when we experience baptism. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me see if my little clicker will work. Stan, you may have to forward it for me. Thank you. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 13. The Word of God says this. The body is a unit. Though it's made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. The great thing about the Christian gospel is that God has come for all people. It doesn't matter what your gender is. It doesn't matter what color or how much pigment you have in your skin. It doesn't matter where you live on the face of this globe. God Almighty, through Jesus Christ, came to reconcile us and to draw us together so that we could become a part of His body, His church. And we were given the same Spirit to drink. And we were baptized by this one Spirit. Now, some people have read this passage and they interpret it to such that there's a physical baptism, and then somewhere along the Christian journey, there is a baptism by the Holy Spirit. I believe what Paul is saying here is it's an allusion to our baptism. Because when you and I are baptized, the scriptures teach us in Acts chapter 2 that when we turn our lives over to Christ and we're baptized, we are baptized into the name of Jesus. In other words, we're put under his budget, under his company, his business. We're baptized into the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, and that we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, it's God that does his work in our life that makes us acceptable to him. If you and I were baptized just in water, if it's just water baptism, that would be a one-sided, all-human kind of experience. But what God does in baptism through our faith, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ and we're baptized, God does his work in our life, and he puts his deposit down upon us, his Holy Spirit, guaranteeing our inheritance that is to come. And so when we are baptized, we receive the Spirit, and because of that, we're brought into the, what we might call the universal church, that God brings us all together. We become the body of Christ. Some people going through difficult times ask the question, where is God? Right? Some of you may have struggled with that very same question in the midst of some human trauma, in the midst of some struggle. You ask the question, where is God? Because behind that is, okay, if the Bible said God is all power, and the Bible also teaches us that God's all love, then how come he's not using his power in a loving way towards me at this moment in my life? And then we ask the question, okay, well, where is God? And then many people can't make that leap from that this question. They can't put their faith in God because they can't make this leap, because if God is all good and he's all powerful, then why is this stuff happening? See, the question, church family, it's actually a really bad question. It's a really bad answer when we think that God isn't present. Jesus said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. He didn't say you wouldn't have troubles in this life, you wouldn't have traumas in this life, you wouldn't struggle in this life. He says, take heart, I have overcome. The question is not, where is God? Because God is wherever the body is, the body of Christ. The question is, where is the church? Do you hear that? There's a significant difference, okay, between those two questions, because we say, oh, God is absent. The question is, it's not so much God being absent, church family, it's the church being absent. Because God is where his church is, and so when you and I come into Christ, we're made members of God's body. We are God's body, his presence here upon this earth. We are imparted the Holy Spirit, and we live out this kingdom of God as his body here upon the earth. Look what God is in the business of doing. Move forward for me, Stan, to Ephesians 1, 7 through 10. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment. Now here's what I want you to see. That when Christ came, times reached their fulfillment. What is it that God is accomplishing in Christ? Look here. To bring all things where? To bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. So what the mission of the church is, a mission of power, and it's of dominance. It's not of peace and feel good. Some of you came here today and you hope that you feel good. That's not why God called you and I to come here and to feel good and to be at peace. We are here, we are gathered, we are here, church family, to rock the boat in this world. Have any of y'all ever been in a canoe, maybe sometime in your life? Those of us that have got our guys, and we took our girlfriend or maybe our wife in that canoe with us, you know it was just too hard not to do it, wasn't it? Church family, you know what I'm talking about? You know when you do the little, they're like, oh, don't do that, and you're like, oh yeah, I'm getting some mileage out of this, da 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 da, you know, and then it goes kind of back and forth. You know, what do you want? You want to have a little fun, you know, you want to live a little bit on the edge. The church has this struggle. There's many of you that have come here today, and you want that canoe of the church to be real steel. You just want everything to be just perfect, and everybody get along and sing all these songs that just tickle your sweet fancy, and don't rock the boat, because if you do, I'm going to let you know that I don't like it. Right? Oh, and when church goes that way, when the canoe's not right, oh, yeah, things are good. Yeah, yeah, church's good. I don't think Jesus established the church for us to have smooth waters. I think God put us in this world to ride the rapids, which sometimes there is smooth water, and sometimes there's level fours and level fives. And because Christ is in the canoe with us, we are guaranteed success. So why not loosen the grip just a little bit, church family? Amen? Why not loosen the grip just a little bit? Because we're about the purpose of bringing everything under the dominion of Jesus Christ. This is a power thing that we're involved in as a church. We are bringing people from darkness to life, from sinfulness to wholeness, from pain and suffering and hatred and evil to goodness and righteousness and love, where people can thrive in life. And we can see, by this all men will know that you're my disciples, Jesus says, if you have love for one another. And so we see plenty of hate in the world. God's business is about the consolidation of all things under his power. I saw for just a moment in the news this morning that Putin is moving his troops into the area around Ukraine. I don't want to suggest that I know everything that's going on there, but I would say there is a safe hunch that he has an agenda by doing that. And it's all about the consolidation of this place under his authority and his power. See, the world is about, you know, this fight, this struggle for power and authority. The church is in that fight. Not for a physical, political, or a geographical place, but the hearts and the minds of people, which literally change the physical geography of people's lives. It's not so much that God is missing in action, church family. It's the church that's missing in action. And there talks about this coming into consolidation. Turn to the next passage, Stan. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 12. Go ahead. Go to the next one, please. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. The body is a unit. Though it's made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. And so you and I are brought in to this so that we would exercise the dominion that God wants us to over all things, to bring them under his power, his authority. We're not here to preserve tradition. We're not here to be a worship society. We are here to rock the world's boat. And we cannot accomplish that purpose unless every member of this church family takes their gifts, their talents, their God-given abilities and puts them at work so that this church accomplishes the purpose for which God called us. We're not here to do all these little nice things. We're here to exercise power, authority, and dominion that God has called us to on behalf of him. I don't like being dominated by anything. And I especially don't like being dominated by sin. Amen? Y'all know what it's like to be dominated. Just ask the Denver Broncos. I mean, that was an utter humiliation that they experienced. That's what you call domination. And even as I say this, as a Houston Texans fan, I have to concede to the Broncos, at least they were there. Amen? And nobody likes to be dominated. We don't need Satan walking around while we're in prison and he's taking his blackjack and making fun of us and kind of poking us while we're in the cage as though we're his little plaything. The church is the one that brings about the liberation of people from sin and death to forgiveness and life. And that is what God has called us to do. And we're brought into this body. We have many parts, but all of these parts, they form the one body. I don't want to be a hold-my-purse society church. Guys, you know what I'm talking about? Your wife ever asked you to hold her purse? You know, it's uncool. Bubba, you ever experienced that? You're a wiser man. I was dumb enough to go shopping with my wife. And I was thinking I might get some stuff, go to some places I wanted to go, but she actually preferred that I go with her, you know. And then she finds something she wasn't looking for, which always happens when you ladies shop. Well, we guys do too. Just depends on where we're at. And so she finds his outfit. And so what does she do? John, can you hold my purse? Just sit here on this red velvet stool and hold my purse while I go back there and change clothes. You know, I'm going, this is just wrong. That's all I got to say. I mean, let's just go ahead and rob me of my masculinity. My manhood is on the line here. I ain't holding that purse. I put it down behind me where nobody can see it while I'm sitting on that plush pink or red velvet chair. Well, this is not a hold my purse society. That is not what the church is. It's okay. Now, some of y'all saying you're on a male kick here, John. What the church doesn't need to be all velvet cake and all chocolate cake. It needs to be can you mix velvet and chocolate? Somebody ought to try it. Sounds pretty good. But when you mix all that, that's what the church is. It's a mixture. It's not, it doesn't have all feminine traits, it doesn't have all masculine traits. But it does have the trait to accomplish the mission of God. And it can only be effective in doing that when everybody's involved in their ministry. So I want to talk to you for just a couple of minutes about what does it mean to be a member of Christ's church. Go to the next slide, bro. I like that, bro. What does it mean to be a member of Christ's church? Now, when we say this word membership, let's think about this for just a minute. Say the word membership. What ideas come to your mind when you hear that word membership or to be a member? In my mind, when I think about membership, it usually means I think of things like access, I think of privileges, I think of perks, and you get all these things as long as you do what, church family? If you pay for it. That's exactly right. So if you're a part of a club, it might be a vacation club. It might be a sports club. It might be a resort. I've even heard of bass fishing clubs. Can I get a witness? Amen. You know, when you think of access and perks and privileges and special treatment, membership, that's what membership means. It means these things. This is a great expression of membership. This was at a beach club, and I'll save the name. It's somewhere in the resort area of Florida, which is pretty much all of Florida. It says, membership privileges beyond the beauty of direct beach access and a private ocean view. The prestige of a sophisticated retreat and the lure of a refined ambience, updated with the finest amenities, make every experience truly rewarding. With personalized service from the moment you arrive to the comfort of beachside concierge. Did I say that right? It looks like concierge, but I think it's concierge. Beachside concierge service must be French. Hadn't had it lately. Concierge service for your needs by the sea. You belong in a place where the beach greets you, luxury surrounds you, and the experience leaves you anticipating your return. Ooh la la. Now that's membership, right? Right? That's membership, you know, if you pay for this. And then it lists 16 things that you get as a member of this particular beach club. What happens when we take that idea of membership and bring it into the membership of this church? Y'all have not seen anything written on the website or anything on paper about the El Campo Church of Christ that goes like this. When you join the El Campo Church of Christ, you'll have access to a worship center that will soften your emotions with an elegant blue commercial grade carpet, lighted by the finest plastic Gregorian-styled lamps inspired by church architecture from the 1600s. Come and be seated in wonderful church pews upgraded in an integrated blue cloth padded by 2 inches of luxurious foam, sure to please the seated saint. You're not going to find that, okay? If membership means perks, I would suggest this church is woefully failing with that. But that's not who we are. That's not what we're about. And we want to talk about, you know, what we are about. When we hear the word membership, we sometimes have a misunderstanding of what that means. The idea of membership in a church, being a part of the body of Christ, is about giving, not receiving. It's about serving, not being served. It's about responsibilities, not my rights. And it's about sacrifice instead of entitlements. Now think about this. This is who God has called us to be, what He's called us to do. It's not that you and I don't have perks. I mean, I could sit here and list off tons of perks. I've got a church family that loves me. I know if I'm struggling in my life, there are all kinds of people in this church that I can call on to pray for me and be with me and encourage me and lift my spirit up. And you do too. I think about the gift of God's presence in my life, that even in moments in which I feel so isolated or so alone, that Christ has promised to be with me. I think about the fact that I'm forgiven when guilt shows up in my life. And I feel embarrassed because of maybe what I have done. I have to remind myself that Jesus is my lawyer. And he is lawyering for me in front of Almighty God. And when Jesus looks at John McCord in the court of God, he says, "He's Lord, I've got this one. He's one of mine." And on I could think about church family, the blessings and the perks of what it means to be a Christian. It truly means abundant living. It truly means abundant life. And so, but again, God hasn't called us to go, "Oh, we've arrived." We have, in a sense, arrived with God, and we've gone from one dominion of power and authority to another dominion which has greater power and greater authority, but we want to bring others along with us in this process. So how do we do that? I want to talk for just a second. Go to the next slide, Stan. I want to talk about just a second what God does. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, go to the next slide, please. Go to the next one. I've skipped over several things. There we go. There we go. We want to talk about what membership means. Now, in the church in Corinth, they had really messed up the idea of what membership meant. They thought that the church had gathered for them. And that was an opportunity and place where they could show off their spiritual gifts and have others ooh and ah. And they've got it all wrong. And so Paul corrects them, and I think it helps us as well as we think about what it means to be the body of Christ. What does membership mean? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, membership means that we are different, but we still work together. 1 Corinthians 12 is that place. I want to, y'all turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And beginning in verse 12 and following, Paul talks about the body of Christ. In one of the places he says, verse 21 and 22, the eye can't say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head can't say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. See, membership means that we're different, but we still work together. Club membership means they're there to serve you. Church membership means that you and I have an essential role to play to complete the church body. We're all necessary. Here's the deal. If one part doesn't do his or her job within the church, the whole body suffers because of it. If one part does their job well, the whole body is honored and all the members rejoice with it. Here's the problem that so often happens in churches, is that we have certain members that overfunction for the body, and we have other members that underfunction for the body. And if you overfunction or you underfunction, eventually there ain't going to be no function. Amen? Let me illustrate it by this. I have a boat. Now, that boat can float and go when it has, I've got the boat part, it's aluminum. On the back there's a motor, and then there's this little hole in the bottom of the boat. And it's placed for a plug, that little rubber thing, stopper that you put in there. And I've got a fuel tank, and I've got a fuel line that I connect to the motor. That's all I need to run that boat. If I miss any one of those things, or if any one of those parts aren't working correctly, I have a crisis on my hand, especially when I get out on the water. Last year, Eli and I decided we were going to go fishing. And we get out there, and we're going across this little small bay down here down to the south. And we get three-fourths of the way across it, almost to where we want to start, area where we want to start fishing. And the boat motor just dies. All it will do is just idle. And I'm like, what is wrong with this? It'll rev up, get up going, and then it just dies, and then it just idles. I'm like, what is going on? And I'm thinking, you know, I think the wind is supposed to pick up this afternoon, if I'm not mistaken. And I was going, oh boy, this is going to be an interesting day. And then I'm looking at my cell phone. Do I have enough bars? And do I have enough battery left on this thing? You know, so I was like, well, let's just fish, Eli, since we're here. So we fished for a little while, had a good time. We started to go back, and I'm cranking on it. It won't start. I'm cranking. It won't start. And Eli's up there looking at it, and all of a sudden I crank, and I pull real hard. And you know what my elbow did to his face? Kind of like that. So he flies back in the boat. I'm thinking, I'm going to be turned in for child abuse now. You know, and he's crying. The boat won't start. I'm sweating. We've got 3 miles to go to get back to the truck. The wind's not exactly blowing in the direction of the truck. This could make for a really long day. I'm cranking on. I finally get that thing started, and it sputters. It idles all the way back. Fortunately, we get there without taking on all kinds of water, because I couldn't get the boat up and going to get on top of the water really, really well. That's frustrating. All kind of bad things happen. Found out some genius decided several years back, I mean, they were smart people. They decided that they wanted to put corn juice in gasoline to help our motors run better. And it just so happens that corn juice called ethanol, see, Kate knows this, because Kate's the one I took it to fix it. It clogged up the carburetor because I didn't have conditioner in it. And nobody told me I was supposed to put conditioner in there. And it wasn't working right. You know, it was under functioning. And it almost created a security problem for me and my son. Church family, when you and I under function, we're just like that boat that's all clogged up. Or if we over function, let's say the oil starts under functioning, so my motor starts over-functioning, and eventually I burn up the head in the motor. Y'all realize that your under-function causes someone else to over-function, which leads to possible, there you go. And some people's over-function actually gets in the way of other people under-functioning. They can't function because you're functioning so well. And so good, because you're going to save the world, right? Neither one is good. We need everyone functioning. Go to the next one real quick. Membership means that everything we say and do is based on love. That's 1 Corinthians 12 was being involved. 1 Corinthians 13 is that everything that drives what we do is based on love. Love is patient. Then it's not impatient. You know what happens when people are impatient? They show it. And it always causes problems when you show impatience. It says love is kind. It does not envy. Do y'all know how hard it is sometimes to be a church and you come here together and you sit together? Not every one of us makes the same amount of money. Not every one of us lives in the same kind of house. Not every one of us drives the same kind of vehicle. Not every one of us has the same kind of experiences. There's all kinds of things that can get in the way of us functioning as a body. But look what love does. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Here's what's interesting about this passage. This passage, when you want to fix something, when you want to fix a problem that you're having with somebody, who needs the fixing? It's not me, it's them, right? And if they just fix it, it's what's interesting in this passage is Paul says, you need to focus on you. And if you want to be a loving person, this is the kind of person that you're going to be. So for us to function well as members, everything that we do has to be based on love. Paul doesn't say we have to, he doesn't say to love other church members because they're all lovable. He doesn't say you have to love other church members because they're all lovable. Amen? Not every one of us in here has the gift of... let's just say some of us can be difficult. And it takes a little more effort to love. But the Lord tells us to love everyone. that love is a decision. It's not a feeling. All right, and then number three, membership means this. Membership means that I have a function. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Everybody has a role to play, and God's Spirit has given us something that we can use to contribute to the meaningful life of this body. Have y'all ever heard of people being an inactive Christian? That's not a Bible concept, an inactive Christian. Y'all ever heard of a CEO Christian? That's a Christian, that's a Christmas and Easter only Christian, the old CEO Christian. All right, that one doesn't exist in the Bible either. To be a Christian means that you're active, you're gifted, and your gift needs to be put to use so that this body can function on the mission that God has called us to accomplish. Each of our part is supposed to function. Foot walks, hands grasp, ears hear, eyes see, a nose smell. Paul uses all of these analogies to illustrate what it is to be a part of the body. And if somebody's not functioning, it brings great harm to the body. Some of us approach church membership like the Japanese kamikaze pilot who flew 50 missions. He wasn't exactly committed, but he was there. He was in on the action. I think what's missing in our church so often today is your action. Your action. I want to leave you with this one question today for all of us to think about and ponder, and that's this. How can I best serve my church? Every one of us needs to ask that question today. How can I best serve my church? Now, some of y'all are going to sit there, well, my gifts, they're not near as good as those so-and-so. I don't think God called you to compare yourself to anyone else except Him, right? The Bible says don't judge, and some of us need to stop judging ourselves, because when we judge ourselves like that, we disqualify ourselves. It's a nice little easy out. Well, oh, so-and-so does it so much better. No, every single person here has something significant that they can contribute. Church family, let me share with you. I think it's really interesting that I might have shared it last Sunday, but I find this fascinating in the Bible. When the church had a need that popped up, we read about this. I believe it's in Acts chapter five. That, you know, these people were being neglected in the distribution of food. They chose seven men, and all these guys was to basically run a pantry ministry, of a food ministry, of taking care of the needs of those who could not take care of their own eating needs. And then the next thing you know, a couple of these guys start preaching the gospel. And Philip plants all kinds of churches. And we see that, so don't ever, here's my point. Do not ever say my gift is small. Don't ever do that. You just take your gift that you have and begin to use it. And then let God grow you into the servant He is leading and calling you to be. Yesterday, I'll close with this story. Yesterday, I heard a fascinating story at Soul Link. All of our young people that are normally up here, they're in Houston at this big youth rally, and I spent about 3 or 4 hours there yesterday at the BAML Church of Christ. There was one lady from Nashville, Tennessee. She was 41 years old, and she was talking about this ministry that she started in the Congo. That would be Congo, Africa. That would be the most violent place on the face of the earth. Y'all have heard the little stories about the little children soldiers. She told a story about one of the kids that she has served and ministered, that when they came in there, they tied up the parents of these kids, and then they held a gun to the kids' heads, and they forced the children to take a machete and kill their own parents. That's who she's ministering to. And she told the story just a few years ago how she had gone through a divorce. She had been a psychologist, and all of her psychology just came imploding in, and her world stopped. And she tells a story about how she had gone, if you want to get away from everybody, go to Colorado. So that's what she did, and she spent 3 years there just kind of getting away. She isolated herself from other people because you know why? When you've been hurt by others, you've been hurt enough times, what you realize that other people hurt. So what do you and I naturally do? We isolate because we're not willing to risk love anymore. But somehow she got convinced to go on this little mission trip over there, and she went over to the Congo, and then she said when she got back, she closed herself up in her house and did not come out for 3 days because she was so traumatized by what she saw. And then God put it on her heart to do something about it, to take her gifts that she has, a counselor, and to help these young children who have been subjected to the worst evil you and I could ever know in the face of the earth, to take her gift and her life and join it to these kids and their lives for Jesus Christ. And she has an art ministry, and she teaches these children how to draw. They draw their sad stories, and then they draw their future happy stories. And then they reenact the story, and they tell the story of what happened. And these children, for so many of them, it's the first time they can get all this evil and guilt and suffering out so that God's word can heal. You just never know what God will do with you if you'll just take your little brokenness and your little giftedness and offer it up for Him. Amen? Let's commit this to the Lord Almighty. God Almighty, we come before You wanting to be a part of Your great work. Help us to use our gifts and our abilities, Lord. Father, remove in us that fear that would disqualify us, where we would say we are not good enough and we're not gifted enough to make a difference. Father, take those lies, remove them far from us, and help us to stand ready to be a part of so great a kingdom, so great a power, so great a work. In Jesus we pray. Amen. If we can serve any of you.